we're going to discuss text 43, 44, and 45. If there was a switch that I could turn on that would make that sound. I feel surcharged. Why don't you tell her just she can wait downstairs in front of the guest house and I'll just see her before she leaves. At 6:15, I'll meet her there. It's only 10 minutes more. All right. We will chant text 43 together. Go loka namni jadamni tale chatasya devi mahesha harinama shute shute shu te te prabhali chayati hitashayena govinda mahari purusham tamaham bhajami. Lowest of all is located Devi Dham, the mundane world. Next above it is Mahesh Dham, the abode of Mahesha. Above Mahesh Dham is placed Hari Dham, abode of Hari. And above them all is located Krishna's own realm named Goloka. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, who has allotted their respective authorities to the rulers of those greater realms. So, now Brahma is telling us that he worships Govinda, who has awarded to each of the respective rulers the potency by which they can conduct the affairs of under their jurisdiction. And so we can review, in a brief way, the different realms within the universe and beyond the universe. The first is known as Devi Dham, which is the mundane world, which consists of the 14 planetary systems, and in which the conditioned souls live entrapped by Maya. First of all, the planetary systems Bhu, Bhuva, and Sva are there, and these are inhabited by persons who are absorbed in fruitive activities. The Bhagavatam says grihastas, or householders, but that's in a very traditional sense. We can say like that. It is traditional, but it is still accurate. Persons who follow grihastha dharma, at least the mundane aspects of it, move up and down in these Bhur, Bhuva, and Sva planetary systems. That means the planetary systems up to the four highest planets. There are four higher planets, or highest planets, which we will describe next. Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and Satyaloka. These, Satyaloka means the planet of Lord Brahma, it's also called Brahmaloka. These last four planets, or planetary areas or systems, are especially for those who are brahmacharis, vanaprasthas, and sannyasis, in a traditional sense. Means that when someone follows the Dharma, specifically, leaving aside the totally transcendental activity of going back to Godhead, but if someone becomes an ideal person in the varnashram meaning of it, if they're grihastha, then they can attain the goal of their desires and move up and down in Bhu, Bhuva, and Svaloka planetary systems. And if they're brahmacharis or vanaprasthas or sannyasis, they can go and attain these highest of the four planets in the universe. And if someone doesn't follow any dharma, if he's an adharmic person, if he's sinful, then he goes to the lower regions below the earth, the hellish planetary systems. Tala, Atala,
Patal, so many Tal Lokas, hellish planets. But all of these exist within the realm known as Devidam. Now above Devidam is a place known as Maheshdam or Shivadam. And it has two divisions. What are these? I know you know them. What is it? Mahakala and Sadashiva Loka. Now, this Mahakala Loka is described as being densely dark, and it is also described as being composed of the coverings of the universe. If some of our learned pundits think need to ask questions or clarify, you can say so. If you want to add something. And still have one of the elements of fire? When I was speaking, I was thinking the same. So, each layer of the universe that's covering the universe is presided over by a particular deity. And when a yogi, for example, wishes to escape from the prison house of Maya, right, from Devidam, he has to be able to withstand the allurements and the opulences which exist in each and every one of these layers. Each one has different types of opulence. Just like we see in some city, there are so many different sections of the city, some poorer, some richer. Now, if you had an opportunity to live in any part of the city you wanted to, even the most expensive area of the city, it would be a difficult allurement to withstand. If you were told, if you want to, you know, you can go to Vrindavan. Or, you know, Vrindavan, let us say. But then you could, if you're offered the opportunity, you can live in any of the districts of the city, even the most expensive house in the city. So these type of allurements are presented to the yogi, layer after layer after layer. This Mahakala Dham is described again in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, in the Krishna book, that Krishna and Arjuna pass through this dense, dark region. And after that, they entered the divine expanse of Brahman effulgence, which led to their meeting with Mahavishnu. And Prabhupada refers to a book that states that above Rudra Loka is Mahavishnu Loka, which is in the region of the Karna Ocean. And after this region comes Sadashiva Loka. So Sadashiva Loka is as Mahakaladam is dense darkness, Sadashiva Loka is intensely, brilliantly light. There's an interesting discussion which Prabhupada had in 1973, in which Prabhupada explains that where the Prakriti ends, where Maya Devi ends, where her realm ends, the causal ocean begins. Lord Mahavishnu lies in the causal ocean, and there the spiritual world begins, first with Brahmaloka or Siddhaloka, the halo of the spiritual world, the effulgence. In other words, after the causal ocean is the effulgence, and afterwards comes Sadashiva Loka, Prabhupada says. So, and Prabhupada says Lord Shiva is on both sides of Siddhaloka, both sides of the Brahmana effulgence. He's in Mahakala, which is below, right? So we can imagine Mahakala, there's so many, the universe, then the coverings, and Mahakala Dham, then above that the causal ocean, and above the causal ocean the Brahmana effulgence, and above that begins Sadashiva Loka. The outer region of Vaikuntha is sometimes described as. And what is going on there? We see Lord Shiva is there with his eternal devotees, and they are described as dancing and holding kirtan, Hari Kirtan, always glorifying the Supreme Lord. Who does Sadashiva worship? Yeah, Lord Sankarshan. Lord Sankarshan. Now after this, so what is the relevance to us? Why are we studying like this? Because there are different processes for elevation. By the process of karma, one may go up and down in Bhur, Bhuva, and Sva planetary systems. And if one is a super karmi, in other words, if he's a perfect karmi, doing all the duties of Grihastha Dharma for 100 lifetimes, then he can go to Brahmaloka. Or there's another type of thing besides karma. One may be doing tapasya of various types, as brahmacharis and vanaprasthas and sannyasis do. What is that they attain? They can go to those highest four planetary systems: Mahaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and Satyaloka or Brahmaloka. The Gyanis, if they perfect themselves, please understand that there's very little chance of anybody being an ideal karmi in this age. We're taught, but theoretically in the past, persons could do this. But understand how difficult it was. 100 lifetimes, and you could get up to Brahmaloka, and that didn't get you out of the material universe. It just got you into a rich house, you know, a big house with many rooms and nice toilets and three or four cars, or whatever. I mean, it didn't get you out of the universe. It just got you better facilities. And similarly, if one was, you know, if someone performed severe tapasya, then he also got some better facility. Like it's described that at the time when the universe goes through its temporary, at the end of annihilation, at the end of the yugas, the four yuga cycles, and we see that there's an inundation, that Mahaloka and above, the persons on Mahaloka go to the higher planetary systems. But those four planetary systems don't get disturbed. So there's some benefit like that. Longer life, etc. Those who are ideal in Jnana Yoga, they may get up to the point of this Brahman effulgence. In other words, they may go beyond Mahakala Dham into the Brahman. But as we have often quoted, because they didn't get proper shelter and devotional service, they eventually have to come back. So karma, jnana, yoga, what does it do? It doesn't do anything, because you just go up and down in all of these. Bhakti is so much easier, and it's so much more powerful, because it elevates one beyond all of these different stratas into the next region. And what is that region? Haridham. Haridham is where Lord Vaikunthanath is present, Lord Narayan, Goddess Lakshmi. Very opulent place. The residents of Vaikuntha are also four-armed. It is described in the Bhagavatam how beautiful they are. And yet, despite their great beauty, physical beauty, etc., still they find Lord Narayan far more beautiful. Their husbands and wives are there, but they're not attracted to each other. They're more attracted to the beauty of Lord Narayan. Very descriptive passages are given. In the Vaikuntha planets, the inhabitants... I'm just going to read, you can hear it for a minute. In the Vaikuntha planets, the inhabitants fly in their airplanes accompanied by their wives and consorts and eternally sing of the character and activities of the Lord. While singing the glories of the Lord, they deride even the presence of the blossoming Madhavi flowers, which are fragrant and laden with honey. Prabhupada Purport points out that in the Vaikuntha, residents are more attracted to glorifying the Lord than to enjoying their sweethearts. Neither can the fragrant breezes induce them to any sort of sense gratification. But everything there is full of awe and reverence. In the very wonderful narration, Brihat Bhagavatamrita, we see that I told you earlier that the hero of that book, his name is Gopakumar, who was born as a cowherd boy at Govardhan. And he has this powerful mantra, a 10-syllable Gopal mantra, which he chants. His worshipful deity is Lord Krishna, Gopal, you know, Gopal Krishna, as we see him. So when he goes to Vaikuntha, he goes higher and higher. He goes through each of these planetary systems. And Sanatana Goswami describes through Gopakumar all that happens. He becomes an Indra. He gets elevated to the post of Brahma, and he becomes a Brahma for some time. But he's never satisfied. He keeps chanting his mantra, and because of that, he doesn't get the taste that he's looking for. And then he goes to Vaikuntha, and when he sees Lord Narayan, he says, "Oh, Gopal." And all the residents, you know, say, "You shouldn't call him like this. Don't take so seriously his leelas when he comes as a cowherd boy. This is just his play. Actually, he's the Lord of Vaikuntha." But Gopakumar cannot give up that meditation. So he doesn't feel satisfied. There's so many nice descriptions are there of how he feels. Remembering always his worshipful Lord, Sri Gopakumar would address the Lord of Vaikuntha as, "O Krishna, O Gopal." At such times, the residents of Vaikuntha would instruct him to compose more elegant prayers and not take very seriously the Supreme Lord's disguise as a cowherd boy. Sri Gopakumar was therefore not very happy. He says, "Because I was aware that he is the Supreme Lord, because I could remember coming to Vaikuntha, and because of the presence of great awe and reverence that killed spontaneous love, my heart was not satisfied. In meditation, by Lord Gopal Dev's mercy, I would embrace him, kiss him, and enjoy pastimes with him in many ways. Now that the Lord was present before my eyes, I was unhappy, for although I desired these things, I could not attain them." Because it was unbecoming to have that type of relationship of intimate friendship. Because in Vaikuntha, everyone simply acts as the servant of Lord Narayan. So he said, "I was not satisfied." Then Narada Muni, his spiritual master, advised him that what you better do to fulfill your cherished desire is to go to Dwarka. So, Haridam is divided into different sections. One is Vaikuntha, another is Ayodhya. And then Mathura, Dwarka and Mathura. And it's a very nice description given. You can just hear these so you get the idea. So he went to Ayodhya. And in Ayodhya, which is described as still being a long way away from Dwarka, in Ayodhya he said, "From far away I saw many restless monkeys jumping here and there." This is in the spiritual world. "And calling out, 'Ram, Ram,' as they tugged at my flute." Because he's a cowherd boy, he held a flute. "I went with them, and then I saw human beings more handsome than the Lord's associates in Vaikuntha." Why were they more handsome? Because they had their two-armed, human-like form. Whereas in Vaikuntha, they had four arms. But then he saw Bharat and Shatrughna, and he thought that they were Ram because they were so beautiful. But immediately Bharat became very disturbed and he put his hands over his ears and said again and again that, "I am only a servant. I am not the Supreme." So these relationships are eternal. We see in Ramayana how Bharat and Shatrughna, they're worshipping, and Lakshman, they worship Ram. And the same is going on in the eternal Ayodhyadham. And it describes Hanuman's behavior. Hanuman was performing so many services for Lord Ram. Sometimes he was massaging his lotus feet. Sometimes he was fanning him with a chamara. Sometimes he was holding an umbrella over his head. Anandan was doing so many activities. And he felt, Gopal Kumar felt very, very happy to be there. And Lord Ram said to him, "Oh Gopa's son, oh dear friend, well done. With your love you have conquered me. Please stop." Because he was glorifying him again and again. "What is the need of all this trouble you take? What is the need? Don't make me your eternal friend. Don't make me, who are your eternal friend, suffer like this. Please rise up. Give up this awe and veneration. You are my friend eternally, and I am conquered by your love." So then he saw Lord Ram's playful... he saw Lord Ram's pastimes as a saintly king, but he said, "Still I did not see anything like the playful sweetness of my worshipful Lord Gopal's pastimes, and I did not attain mercy like his mercy." So still he felt dissatisfied. He said, by the power of my previous activities in Brajabhumi, when he was here within this world, by the power of his meditation and activities, on the activities of Lord Gopal, he says, "A yearning for my Lord's pastimes and mercy invaded my heart, and I could not be satisfied." Then, when Hanuman saw his condition, he tried to console him with many wonderful arguments. But Lord Ram, who knows the hearts of all the world, told him to go to Dwarka. Naturally, the devotee always prefers his mode of worship. So he tried to Hanuman tried to convince Gopal Kumar that, you know, this is the best of all worshipful objects. This is the best way to worship. The devotees will always feel strongly attached to their way of worship. But Ram, who is all-knowing and is the Supreme Lord and the source of the goal of all rasas, he said, "Let him go." And he said, "You go to Dwarka." Then he went to Dwarka. And he saw the Lord sitting on a throne of gold and jewels. And he was served by the wonderful sweetness and opulence that was even greater than that of the Lord of Vaikuntha. He describes Vasudev, Balaram, Akrura, and others were each seated on their own thrones, surrounding Yadu Kumar, Krishna, the Lord of Dwarka. And he fainted, overcome with love. Then he saw Uddhava there. And when the Lord of Dwarka saw Gopal Kumar, he recognized him as a coward boy. So he immediately considered that the big opulent setting of the palace court was not appropriate, and he took the flute from Gopal Kumar's hands, took him by the hand, and went into the inner chamber. And then it's described that the Lord lost his desire to eat due to intense feelings of separation from Gokul. Because of the association with Gopal Kumar, Krishna began to remember the pastimes of Vrindavan, and he felt such intense separation that he practically could not perform his daily activities. The Yadavas who were there, the Yadav members of the Yadav dynasty, advised Gopal Kumar that you should change your clothing because, you know, you're wearing these simple clothes of a cowherd boy, but you are in Dwarka, so you should put on very costly and nice, you know, clothing. But Gopal Kumar preferred to dress as a humble, poor person. He says sometimes he saw the Lord of Dwarka display forearms. Sometimes he would something he would never do in Braja. Although his long-cherished desire to see Lord Gopal was not fulfilled, he somehow became pacified in seeing the beautiful form of Lord Dwarkadish. And then one day, he saw Narada Muni. Narada Muni came, and he was very astonished to see Narada Muni. I don't think we're going to get beyond this text. He was very astonished to see Narada Muni because he said, I've seen you in other planetary systems, in Devidam. I saw you in Vaikuntha. I keep seeing you everywhere. In each place, sometimes you have, you know, you're always everywhere. So how is this possible? So Narada Muni said that, he says, all the devotees, those led by Garuda, those led by Hanuman, those led by the Yadavas and Uddhava also, are like that. Dedicated to serving the Lord, we are all the Lord's associates eternally. As the Lord does, so we assume different forms and different pastimes. In this way we worship Him. The Lord's paraphernalia, names, pastimes, and favorite abodes are all eternal and real. So, similarly, the Lord's devotees are also able to appear wherever the Lord appears. And sometimes they even take different forms just to be able to serve Him. He's the topmost devotee amongst the Yadavas. And in this discussion, Narada Muni and Uddhava both say, they conclude that the kind of feelings that Gopal Kumar has, they themselves do not even have. Because he has such unflinching love for the sweet form of Shyamasundara, and he wants to have such an intimate personal relationship with Lord Gopal Krishna, he says that we don't have that. We don't even have that. We remain overwhelmed with awe and respect for the Lord. But this cowherd boy, he has got such natural affection that even we don't have it. So therefore they advised him that the only way that you're going to get satisfaction is if you can go to Braja, Vrindavan. And then Narada Muni glorified the residents of Braja. Here, I'll just read some of the things that she said. The Lord is so wonderfully attached to the people of Braja and eternally so full of love for them that He has no desire at all to see His eldest son Brahma, who, attracted by the flute, bows before Him and recites prayers. Charmed by the people of Vrindavan Forest, who know wonderful mantras and magical herbs, the hero of Braja is not eager to speak even for a moment with persons like me, for whom his lotus feet are the only goal. Who can describe their attachment to him? Aware only that he is the son of the cowherd Nanda, and elaborately serving him with love, they always pass the time with great anxiety. They are beyond time. Their feet are worshipped by us, who are filled with the opulences of transcendental knowledge. They are flooded with a bliss greater than what is in Vaikuntha. They are worshipped even by the Yadavas. The people of Braja were not enchanted by Krishna. It was Lord Krishna who was enchanted by them. That is the truth. He even forgot His mission as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I had to somehow remind Him. Does anybody know when that is? What is it? I couldn't hear what you said.
When Krishna was on the trip for the rest of the time, and when Uddhava was giving Krishna advice about all that would have been sacrificed.
But this is Narada speaking.
When Narada is speaking.
There are some times when Narada comes.
He comes and he tells Krishna that I'm going to see all you from past time. He let him find a bush.
And he tells him that you have other business to do. Considering the depth of Krishna's attachment to the residents of Vrindavan, Narada discusses how the Lord should, Anyway, so finally the conclusion is that Gopal Kumar should go, but Narada Muni advises him that what you should do is first of all go to the earthly Vrindavan. And there you will be able to attain your desire. So Gopal Kumar comes all the way back down by the power of his mantra to the worldly Vrindavan. And he performs his bhajan and meditation of chanting his Gopal mantra. And one day he takes a bath in the Jamuna. And as he's bathing in the Jamuna, he suddenly finds himself aboard an airplane. And the airplane, he sees the airplane go through all of the planetary systems, right back up where he'd gone through, goes right through Vaikuntha, right through Ayodhya, right through Dwarka, and it takes him to Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan. And you can hear his... So the next place is... Now we have to... The next place is Goloka Dham, where, as we have said many times, the sweetness prevails. And there's no mood of simple servitude, but everything has got some friendship or parental affection or conjugal feelings pervading the relationships there. And there's a very super beautiful description of what he encounters when he goes to Goloka Vrindavan. Very beautiful description. And there's a whole description of the meeting of Gopal Kumar and Krishna after such a long search. So in this way, Sanatana Goswami describes the different planetary systems and the spiritual worlds as well. And he describes it all in terms of the feelings of devotion or the type of devotion that the inhabitants have. In the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, by the way, it does say that Mahakala Dham is the eightfold coverings of the universe. And it's also confirmed by Prabhupada. So that covers this part. And what is the point here? That all of the different rulers of all the planetary systems are ultimately empowered to rule by Lord Krishna. Let us take up text 44, see if we can just finish it. You can chant with me. Srishti Stiti Pralaya Sadhana Saktirdeka Chaheva Yasya Bhuvanani Vivarti Durga Ichchanu Rupam Abhyasya Chachastatesha Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Rajami. The external potency Maya, who is of the nature of the shadow of the chit potency, is worshipped by all people as Durga, the creating, preserving, and destroying agency of this mundane world. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda in accordance with whose will Durga conducts herself. Does anyone have any questions about... I think we should maybe we see if... Even if there's a number of questions, we should first ask questions on what we described in text 43.
Is there any description of the Durga Ras in the Bhagavatam?
There is. In the first part, especially, in the first part of Brihat Bhagavatamrita, the whole purpose of it is to describe the glories of Madhurya Ras, especially because it glorifies the relationship that Krishna has and the feelings he has for the gopis, saying that of all the devotees who are the recipients of the greatest mercy of the Lord, none have received greater mercy than the gopis. The residents of Vrindavan in general, and especially the gopis, and that Krishna is always merged in remembering them. So, in the first section of Brihat Bhagavata, that's very clearly described. And there are some indications of it in the second section also, when it describes the spiritual world and Krishna's pastimes. But the predominant mood is more Sakya and Vatsalya. But also, there's Madhurya. It describes that, I mean, I could read to you, even in Goloka Vrindavan, Akrura continuously comes every so often. So I'll read it to you. I put it in my book. It's so astonishing, because everybody thinks that, well, when you go back to Godhead, you know, then you'll always be with Krishna at every moment. And there won't be any separation. But there is some separation. One day, as Krishna was living in the town of Nandishvara, a Akrura came to bring him from Braja to Mathura city on Kamsa's order. When they heard this news, even the people in other places, and even the stones, wood, and the other inanimate objects cried and broke into pieces. At night, hearing this news, all the people of Gokul lamented, crying and fainting again and again. Yasoda, terrified of the demon Kamsa and thinking her son her very life, with many loud complaints, hid Krishna in a secluded place. Sanatana Goswami explains that she hid Krishna behind a curtain and other obstacles. In the morning, Akrura, with many arguments, convinced Nanda. Sanatana Goswami explains that Akrura's arguments included a description of Kamsa's wickedness and Krishna's supreme strength. Then Nanda convinced his crying wife and brought his son outside. It was as if Nanda had broken the lives of the gopis as they loudly called out, "Alas, alas," shamelessly cried, and gazed on Krishna. Then poor Yasoda came outside. Wiping away the streams of her tears, she took her son's hand and, as if making a gesture, placed it in the hand of Akrura. She said to Nanda, "I trust no one but you. He who is more dear than life I place in your hand. Keep him by your side, return him here, and place him again in my hand." When that pious lady, overcome with love for her son, and fainting again and again, went without Krishna to her home, a great cry rose among the women of Braja. When this is remembered even today, the rocks cry out, dry wood sheds tears, thunderbolts break into pieces, and if it has not already given up its life, the world is at once plunged in an ocean of sorrow. It goes on and on describing this. And after a few days, or it seems to be a few days, Krishna comes back. And when Krishna comes back, everybody just forgets exactly what happened. They think that there was some bad dream they had. And then again, they go through past times. And the Goswamis explain that, you know, wherever Krishna, somehow, whatever he does, but the reason why Krishna does this is it just heightens the intense pleasure of being together in union with Krishna. What was your question? Oh yeah, about Madhurya. So there is Madhurya because it describes. It describes that when Krishna goes, I'll read the Madhurya. It describes the gopis. Anyway, there's a lengthy description about how the gopis felt.
Where is situated Jagannath Puri?
Huh?
Where is situated Jagannath Puri?
Yeah, Jagannath Puri is something like Dwarka. Anybody know the exact answer to this?
It's the place where all relationships are there.
Well, where is it located? He said, "Where's
it?" It's a little beyond Dwarka, between Dwarka and
Okay. Yeah, but they say, they conclude, better not to. He'll feel too much separation there. Let him go directly. Yeah, so from Dwarka, between Dwarka and Vrindavan is Purushottam Kshetra. Dwarka is beyond Ayodhya. So if it's beyond Dwarka, then it must be beyond Ayodhya. I think we'll stop here. So, I give you a homework assignment for tomorrow. We'll try to cover text 44 and 45. And then you have to do 46 and 47 also. So, I think we can easily cover all of those. 44, we'll cover 44, 45, 46, and 47. Srila Prabhupada ki.